Thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you because we stand boldly before you in your righteousness. Thank you because you've accepted us as your own, not on the basis of our own merits, based on the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. We give you all the praise, Lord. In Jesus' name we are prayed. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Glory to God. Have your seat quickly. Welcome to church. Praise God. Are you ready for God's word? Are you ready for the word? Are you ready for the word? I can't hear your voice. Are you ready for the word? Okay, show your readiness. Where's your readiness? Where's your readiness? Okay. Where's your readiness? Your notepad. Let me see. Front it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay. It's good to be back in church, and we're going to examine. I want this fan off because of my Bible. We're going to examine kerygma past 5 weeks. And we're just going to continue today and round off this teaching. Kerygma, how the gospel was proclaimed. Glory to God. How the gospel was proclaimed. So let's begin to write. Let's write. Last week, we closed by examining again the truth about how Gentiles had always been in God's plan. Just what? Last week, we closed by examining, but to be writing. If you don't have a notepad, ask for one and you get help. Ushers, kindly help out. Give a notepad and a biro. You have to be writing. Praise God. So let's write. Last week, we closed by examining again the truth about how Gentiles had always been God's plan. Had always been in God's plan. Hallelujah. We examined again the truth about how Gentiles had always been in God's plan and how the notion that Christianity is a white man's religion is false. How the notion that Christianity is a white man's religion is false. How the notion that Christianity is a white man's religion is false. The gospel is for all nations. The gospel is for all nations. Hallelujah. So, what does that mean? I mean, last week we began to see, and that's where we closed last week, we began to see how that the idea that the promises were to the Jews and the Gentiles were now later brought in. It was not originally a gospel to us. That idea is false. And several parts of the Bible debunks that idea. Look at Mark 16:15 again. Mark 16, let's turn our Bibles. Mark 16:15. Hallelujah. Mark 16:15. So you know the drill. When I say, let's write, we're writing. When I say, listen or look up, then you listen. Mark 16:15. Bible says, and he said to them, go into all the world and do what? And preach the gospel to every, how many creatures? Every creatures. That includes Jews and what? Gentiles. Praise God. Luke's gospel 24. Luke's gospel 24. Hallelujah. Luke's gospel 24. I could use the other mic if this is not ready. We'll get it later. Luke 24, verse 46 to 47. Luke 24, 46 to 47. Let's read together. I want to go.
Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary that the Christ, for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at where? Beginning at where? You know that at Acts, at Romans rather, Romans 1:16-17, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation, first to the Jews and then to the Greeks. Hallelujah. So even when Jesus gave them instruction, Acts 1:8, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me where? Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. So the gospel was first to the Jews, in that they received the covenant, in that, you know, Abraham is the father of the Jews. He received the promise. And when Abraham received the promise, it was not just for Jews. There were no Jews and Gentiles then. It was just Abraham and, you know, his dealings with God. So God told him, in you all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Hallelujah. So the gospel is not just for Jews. It is also for who? So say with me, the gospel is for us. Hallelujah. So it is not an afterthought. That's what we're saying. It is not something that happened after Jesus died. They now decided to extend the gospel to the world. It has always been God's plan. Hallelujah. So let's write. We also examined prophecies concerning Gentiles from the Old Testament. We also examined prophecies concerning Gentiles from the Old Testament. Isaiah 42, 1 to 6. Isaiah 49:6, Micah 5:8, Malachi 1:11. Those are prophecies concerning Gentiles from the Old Testament. Glory to God. Let's see some of them again. Isaiah 9:1-2. Listen, because many of the people who say that the gospel is Jewish, or Christ was sent to Jewish people, and that Christianity is a white man's religion, the major place they go to say this is the Old Testament. That is, they would say that if you read through the prophecies of the Old Testament, the prophecies were targeted at Jewish people. And we saw it last week, to the house of Judah, to Jerusalem, to Israel. So you find those prophecies centered around those guys. But then from the same Old Testament, there are prophecies concerning Gentiles being partakers of these promises. Glory to God. So that argument is dead on arrival. It's not true. But if you don't search the scriptures to find out, you may just fall for it. Isaiah 9:1-2. Nevertheless, the gloom will be upon her who is distressed, as when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward more heavily oppressed her by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan in Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light as what? Galilee of the Gentiles. Hallelujah. I know this is about Jesus. So look at this also. Isaiah 11:10. Isaiah 11:10. Bible says, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people. For the Gentiles shall do what? The Gentiles shall do what? Seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. So concerning Jesus, he says, even the Gentiles will seek him. Hallelujah. Isaiah 42:1-6. So Christianity is not a white man's religion. It is God's plan for the whole world. Hallelujah. And we said last week, even the Israelites, the Jews, they are not white like that. Hallelujah. But those who brought the gospel to us were those Western guys.
Amen. So, but then, if you look at America today, America, Britain, Europe generally, if you look at them very well, you discover that even they don't understand the gospel. Many of them don't understand why Jesus died. And the major problem with the major reason for that is because of the prosperity gospel. Amen. So the average American feels there's no need for God. When you say that you need to come to church, give a seed, do this and this before you can be rich. And you know those guys have a thriving economy. Hallelujah. So they have a thriving economy. Things are working fine. In Canada, I gather that in Canada, you give 50% of your salary as tax. And then everybody is fine with it. Praise God. And nobody is protesting. How many percentage is our government saying we should give? You know, but you know, we have a problem with that. What is this? Eh? Because after giving the tax, you still be the one to sort your medical bills, sort many. So in those places, you know, they collect 50% and they sort good road networks. They have medical facilities that are in place for everybody. You are sick. You can be falling sick every day. Praise God. Just to enjoy your tax. Praise God. So nobody's complaining. So in such a region, the prosperity gospel cannot thrive. Hallelujah. It cannot. When the pandemic began, I think it was the Prime Minister of Dubai, he said they have enough money for all their citizens. They have enough resources, enough provisions. Nobody should panic. Hallelujah. That's prosperity. Amen. But in this place where we have kingdom keys, covenant keys, kinikon method, a secret from God, we were struggling and fighting over palliatives. Glory to God. People were fighting over palliatives. They gave you 2 cups of rice in this nation. Hallelujah. So you discover that the prosperity gospel cannot try. So the white guys, they brought it, but they themselves have lost touch with that gospel. Not all of them. Amen. You know, when Paul says Israel has a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge, it doesn't mean all Israel. Amen. So put that in context. Hallelujah. So let's write. I said we should see Isaiah 49, right? Isaiah 49, 6. Isaiah 49 and verse 6. Glory to God. Bible says, indeed, it says, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also give you as a light to woo. A light to woo. The Gentiles. That you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. And he was talking about Jesus. So, let's write. So the revelation of the Gentiles, being partakers of God's promise in Christ, is not a New Testament development. So the revelation of the Gentiles, being partakers of God's promise in Christ, is not a New Testament development. Hallelujah. It was written in the prophets. It is not a New Testament development. It is not an afterthought. Not that Jesus decided to be generous. I'm explaining. You don't have to catch up with all of that. I'm just expounding what I'm dictating. So it's not a New Testament development. It was written in the prophets. Let's keep writing. If it was not written in the prophets, preaching the gospel to Gentiles would be a foul play. If it was not written in the prophets, preaching the gospel to the Gentiles would be a foul play. But still writing. The apostles taught this reality as something prophesied. The apostles taught this reality as something prophesied. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So let's write Acts of Apostles 15, 14 to 17. Acts of Apostles 15, 14 to 17.
They taught it as a prophecy fulfilled. Glory to God. Now look up. Do you know we've often said that the New Testament is an explanation of what? Of the Old Testament. So that means if the details of Gentiles being partakers of God's promise in Christ was not in the Old Testament, there's no way that will feature in the New Testament. Those guys will have just stayed in Jerusalem, preaching to Jews and all that. But the reason why they began to mention how Gentiles can be partakers of God's promise in Christ and how that we all should embrace the gospel was because the prophets wrote about it. Amen. So in their letters, when they were teaching that reality, they were making reference to the prophets. Glory to God. So look at Acts 15:14-17. Acts 15:14-17. Glory to God. Acts 15:14-17. And I'll read. Bible says, Simon has declared to us how God at the first visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And with this, the words of the prophet agree just as it is written. So, can you see that? Simon has declared to us what? Look into your Bibles. What did Simon declare? God has visited the Gentiles to take among them a people for his name. So what did he say next? To this agree the words of who? The prophets. What did they say? After this, I'll return and will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I'll rebuild its ruins and I will set it up so that the rest of the mankind may seek the Lord. Even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord who does all these things. So you see, it was a prophecy. So that means even when Peter told them that he saw a vision, the vision was not what made them accept the fact that Gentiles can receive the gospel. It was until they, the prophet said this. Hallelujah. You know, it's so funny that Jesus had told them, go into all the nations, but they were not going to all the nations. Then at some point, they began to go into all the nations, and guess what? They were looking for Jews in those nations. Because somehow, it felt like to them, they understood that instruction to be, reach out to all the Jews, all of God's people, you know, among all the nations. So, but then they had to settle it from the scriptures. That the scriptures of the prophets actually say that Gentiles will be recipients of the promises of God in Christ. Hallelujah. Look at this other one. Acts 26:22-23. Acts 26:22-23. Glory be to God. Acts 26:22-23. Therefore, having obtained help from God, to this day I stand witnessing both to small and great, saying no other things than those which the prophets and Moses said would come, that the Christ would suffer, and that he would be the first to rise from the dead, and would proclaim light to who? To the Jewish people and to the who? To the Gentiles. Who were those who said this? Prophets and Moses. All the prophets, Moses, they all said that Jesus, that is the sum of their message, is that Jesus would give light both to the Jews and to the Gentiles. Hallelujah. Ephesians 3:1-6. Ephesians 3:1-6. Glory to God. Ephesians 3:1-6. Bible says, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles, and what? That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. Hallelujah. Now listen, when he says, as it has now been revealed to his prophets and apostles, it doesn't mean this is when God now showed it to the prophets. Amen. The right rendition is, as it has been revealed to the prophets and apostles. Glory to God. So it's not a now thing. The prophets knew about it. The now only applies to the apostles. Did you get that? You know, because at this point in time, the prophets were gone.
So the prophet knew about it. They prophesied about it. Then the apostles received the explanation from Jesus, and he also explained it that way. That Gentiles will be fellow partakers. And you know, last week I showed us how that the reason why there was a demarcation or distinction in the first place of Jews and Gentiles was because of what? Because of what? The law of Moses. Hallelujah. It was the law that brought the distinction of circumcision and non-circumcision. It was the law that brought the distinction of Jews and Gentiles. Prior to the time when the law was given, it was just one race. Glory to God. It was just one word. One race. So the law made a distinction. If you want to be a part of God's people in quotes in the Old Testament, you had to be circumcised. Hallelujah. So, but before the law, it was just God dealing with all nations. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at Romans also. Book of Romans. Romans. And I'll read from chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. And I'll read from verse 27. Where is boasting then? It is excluded by what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Or is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the God of who? The God of the Gentiles. Verse 30, let's read together. Since there is one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith, do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law. One God to justify who? The Jews. And who? Be alert. One God to justify who? And the who? Through faith. Where is that message of justification by faith that will come to men? Where is it from? Where is it from? The Old Testament. The prophets. They spoke about justification by faith. They prophesied about it. And Paul is saying that one God that gave those prophecies was going to justify both Jews and Gentiles. Hallelujah. So let's write. This means both Jews and Gentiles must be taught. This means both Jews and Gentiles. Make sure you're writing. This means both Jews and Gentiles must be taught the gospel as a fulfillment of God's promise in Christ. This means both Jews and Gentiles must be taught the gospel as a fulfillment of God's promise in Christ. Our faith must be found resting on God's faithfulness. Our faith must be found resting on God's faithfulness. Our faith must be found resting on God's faithfulness. This is the scriptural pattern for proclaiming the gospel. This is the scriptural pattern for proclaiming the gospel. Hallelujah. Now listen. You know, that has been the emphasis from the beginning of this teaching. How that in preaching the gospel to men or teaching them the gospel, we must show them how the gospel is what? A fulfillment of God's promises. We must present the gospel as something God spoke about long before it came to pass. So what Jesus did is a fulfillment of what God said. Now, when I said that means men's faith must rest on God's faithfulness. It means when we look at the promises of God and we say, God did it. My faith is resting on what? God's faithfulness. Amen. So that means I'm not in the faith or in the church and then I'm expecting that one day God will be faithful to me. Glory to God. And one day God will do what he has said he will do to me. I'm starting out in the faith as a man persuaded that God has been faithful to him. Praise God. God has already been what? Faithful. How do I know? Because he fulfilled all his promises where? In Christ. Hallelujah. So my faith is resting on what? God's faithfulness. Now I haven't said that God cannot give you an instruction or, you know, lead you somewhere with an evidence, or maybe with a word, an assurance that, you know, when you get to this place, you meet this person, you know, that could be a personal promise to you, right? So, I've not said that cannot happen. Even the patriarchs, for instance, they had the promise, and they had diverse other promises in their dealings with God. Abraham had the promise of who? Isaac. Hallelujah. So, but that promise was now beyond Isaac. In Isaac, there will now be the promise of the seed. Glory to God. The children of Israel generally had the promise of the land of Canaan. That's why, look at Hebrews 11. You notice that the writer of Hebrews says they did not obtain the promise. Elsewhere, he says they obtained promises. Because there are two kinds of promises. Hallelujah. Hebrews 11. Glory to God. Hebrews 11. And I'll read verse 13. Bible says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. These all died in what? That their faith was an expectation. They died in hope. Hallelujah. They died expecting. They died hoping to see the fulfillment. So, they did not obtain the promises, right? But look at this place. Glory to God. Hebrews 11 and 32. And what more shall I say? For the time will fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and all the prophets, and then who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, and did what? Obtained promises. Hallelujah. Stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. So they obtained certain promises, right? Those promises were personal. Amen. So you don't say, as God made promise to you, say, God doesn't make promise anymore. Praise God. No. God can give you an assurance. It's as simple as, this land will be your land that he said to the children of Israel. Praise God. You can't receive that too. Praise God. Because it was to them. It was specific. But let's assume that you are being led out of this nation, and on your way out of the nation, you had no clue how you were going to survive out there. And you don't know anybody there. And then, while you were praying, it came to you strongly that you will meet a couple, they would be responsible for your upkeep, they will house you, and all that. Do you know that's a promise to you? So when you get there and it happens, that's you obtaining what God has said to you. Hallelujah. But there's a general dealing of God with everybody. And his promise to us, in that dealing, is not on a personal basis. It is the promise of salvation. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, so, having seen that God has been faithful to that, it gives us a basis for trusting God for other things. Did you get that? That is, if I know that, see, this God, when he says it, he does it. I can, with that confidence, rest upon, you know, his instructions to me, his assurance to me. If he tells me, go to this land, don't worry, you meet, I can trust it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Do you know that's the confidence that makes us pray? We are not to pray hoping God will answer. We are to pray knowing that, see, this God is a faithful God. Glory to God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful, by whom you were called into what? Into the fellowship of his Son. His faithfulness begins with that fulfillment of his promise. Hallelujah. So, our faith rests in the faithfulness of God. And I said, this is how the gospel must be presented. Amen. So listen, as we write. So that means we don't present to men. That means we don't present to men a gospel of personal promises to them. That means we don't present to men a gospel of personal promises to them. Did you get that? I don't go on the street and say, come to Jesus. He will do you. By this time tomorrow, you will get a visa. No! Nobody sent you. Hallelujah. In fact, that particular fellow may come to Jesus, and that will be the reason why he will never travel anywhere. Did you get that? Because of God's assignment. Hallelujah. Come to Jesus, and if you come to Jesus, you will get a good house. Amen. And the man comes to Jesus, and one day in a prayer meeting, he catches a burden to be a missionary in Igbo Eleri. Praise God. Hallelujah. And then he's, hey, my God, I studied medicine in school. Amen. What is this? Then he keeps praying. As he keeps maturing, he gets to, do you know God doesn't force that on people? So he gets to a point he matures. Now that does not mean God will be hunting him. So he will just be falling sick. And everywhere they go, obviously later, obviously church it all, they say, it's your God that is fighting you. Praise God. That does not mean that. So, but it will grow to a point where he will now embrace that call. Hallelujah. That's why you cannot explain why missionaries will leave America. Missionaries will leave UK and come to Africa. Glory to God. And where do they come in Africa? They don't go to VGC or Banana Island. They now go to some jungles. And you see them serving pap. Praise God. Pap and akara to their disciples. And you see them on TVN collecting money. Support us in Africa. And you see a white lady. Praise God. A white guy in the bush. I see them enjoying their life. You see them erect huts and they are enjoying their life. Wildlife. Praise God. Because of the gospel. So, we don't give people such personal promises. Because God's dealing with you will be personal. Hallelujah. That's the reason why when Abraham left his father's land, who followed him? His family and who? Lot. You know, Lot went and he almost got lost. Praise God. Because God didn't tell him to go anywhere. Hallelujah. Have you noticed that all through their staying, in that place, Lot seemed to be the one having all the challenges, all the problems. It doesn't mean in God's plan you can't have problems. But the kind of problem, they took him and his family, they kidnapped them away. He was the one they wanted to rape him and his daughter. He had all kinds of evil things. On their way away from the land, his wife became salt. Amen. All manner of things. But look at the promise to Abraham. I will bless you and greatly what? Multiply you. Leave your father's land. You'll be fruitful. And they left. And then you see them prospering, doing things, getting better. Praise God. So the dealings of God will be what? Personal. So what promise do we hand over to men as the gospel? The promise of God in who? In Christ, the general thing. That is what God has sent us to preach. Glory to God. Did you get this? So, and I'm saying we must present the gospel to men that way. It is a fulfillment of God's promises in Christ. The gospel did not start on the cross. It started as utterances concerning that event. So the cross is only a fulfillment of the things that were said. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now let's write. This does not mean that when you tell someone Christ died for your sins and rose again for your justification, you haven't preached the gospel. This does not mean that when you tell someone Christ died for your sins and rose again for your justification, you haven't preached the gospel. That's not what it means. We're still writing. This does not mean when you tell someone Christ died for your sins, rose again for your justification, you have not preached the gospel. That's the gospel too. And can serve as a basis for further teaching. That's the gospel too. And it can serve as a basis for further teaching. Hallelujah. We're still writing. Jesus at times when he preached like that. Jesus at times when he preached like that. You know, we saw the sermon of Jesus, how that a word meant through the scriptures, showing them things concerning himself. But he also had times when he just said something, made a statement about himself without making a reference to what was said in the prophets. So he had times like that. John chapter 3, John chapter 4, John chapter 5, John 6, 7, 8. So you can just do John 3 to 8. Those are examples. You find more places. John 3 to 8. So you find a lot of teachings that were not really references to the Old Testament. Hallelujah. In John 3, there was a reference to the Old Testament in between somewhere. You know, it says as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. But that was typology. Amen. So, at John 4, he says, our fathers worship on the mountain. His time is coming when we worship in spirit and in truth. The father seeketh sought to worship him. And then he said to the man, if you know the gift of God, and who is it that speaks to you, you will have asked him and have given you living water. Praise God. John chapter 5. John chapter 6. So, he had such spontaneous moments where he just cried out in public. He brought to the mind of men or to the awareness of men the reason for his being or the reason for his coming. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's write. But the point is that he had a teaching ministry. The point is that he had a teaching ministry that was about expounding these things from the prophets. The point is that he had a teaching ministry that was about expounding these things from the prophets. The point is that he had a teaching ministry that was about expounding these things from the prophets. Glory to God. Matthew 4:23 records that Jesus went about all Galilee. Matthew 4:23 records that Jesus went about all Galilee teaching in their synagogues. Matthew 4:23 records that Jesus went about all Galilee teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Praise God. We're still writing. The word teach is the Greek word didasko. The word teach is the Greek word didasko. Didasko is spelled D-I-D-A-S-K-O. D-I-D-A-S-K-O. Didasko. Which means to hold discourse with others. It means to hold discourse with others. In order to instruct them. It means to hold discourse with others in order to instruct them. That is, to deliver didactic discourses. That is, to deliver didactic discourses. So, this was beyond a public arousing as seen in many places in the Gospels. Now, if you get lost, don't give up. Just catch up. Hallelujah. Say to your neighbor, don't give up. Just catch up. Hallelujah. So, this was beyond a public arousing as seen in many places in the Gospels. This was about explaining things from the scriptures. This was about explaining things from the scriptures. Hallelujah. I'm still writing. This wasn't some spontaneous sermon on the mount. This wasn't some spontaneous sermon on the mount. This wasn't some spontaneous sermon on the mount or by the wayside or in the boat. This wasn't some spontaneous sermon on the mount or by the wayside or in the boat. This was his teaching ministry in the synagogues. This was his teaching ministry in the synagogues. Hallelujah. Did you get that? Praise God. So listen. So, you know, there were times when, just like John 3, John 6, Nicodemus came to meet him at John 3 and he began to talk. He just began to spontaneously explain things, without being born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Do you know that's the first appearance of that phrase in the entire Bible? Jesus used it. And the other person that used that word was Peter. At first Peter. Being born again, not of corruptible seed. So, it was spontaneous. But he had a teaching ministry in the synagogues. Now, the synagogues in those days were centers for learning. Amen. You get in the synagogue. How many of us remember that at age 12, Jesus was in the synagogue doing what? Asking questions, right? And they were giving him answers. So, it was a place for study. What they did in the synagogues regularly was to search the scriptures, study, go through things, and then investigate.
Hallelujah. Look at Luke chapter 4, verse 14 to 18.
The synagogues were for teaching. Luke 4, 14 to 18.
Hallelujah.
Luke 4, 14 to 18 or 17.
Bible says, then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went through the surrounding region, and he taught in their synagogues.
Where was he teaching?
He taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Verse 20, let's read together. Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all the people were fixed on him. Look at verse 21, let's read. And began to say to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled here.
Do you know what Jesus did here? Hallelujah. Do you know? Because you don't have authority to teach in the synagogue. Hallelujah. There were scribes and Pharisees. There were chief priests. Those were the custodians of the temple and operations synagogue. So nobody has an authority to just enter the synagogue and start teaching. So you know what he did? He showed them his authority. Praise God. From the scriptures. Today, this scripture is fulfilled. He has anointed me to do what? To preach. Hallelujah. So he entered the synagogue regularly and he was teaching. You know, and listen, you can't do that. For instance, you can't just enter a church in Barua and say, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your ear. They will stone you. Praise God. And they'll be justified. In those days, listen, in those days, prophets could rise up spontaneously. Amen. So Isaiah could just come and be prophesying. Look at Jeremiah. When God even told him to go and, he said, I am a youth, oh. Praise God. I am a youth. What do you like? Fear not. I'm with you. I know. So he went. So prophets could rise up spontaneously. Amos was a shepherd. Imagine that. He was just in the field, raring, and then the word of the Lord came to him. Praise God. But you know, that's not how we receive ministry today. You can't just say, while I was at my workplace, as I was sowing, the Spirit of God just came upon me. Praise God. Say, are you born again? No. But the Spirit came upon me. That Spirit that came upon you, we must take it off you. Hallelujah. So in those days, prophets could rise spontaneously. But beyond letting them know that he is a prophet in the midst of them, he had to show them from the scriptures that today, the scriptures, this particular one, is fulfilled in your hearing. Hallelujah. So you see, so there was a teaching ministry where? In the synagogues. He was teaching. So many times when people say, even if you read through the Gospels, you find out that Jesus was not really quoting scriptures. You know, hallelujah, praise God. Because what they are looking at are those spontaneous discussions. Somebody comes to ask him questions, then he begins to answer. Do you know Matthew chapter 5, what is called Sermon on the Mount? Bible says his disciples came to him, and then he went on the mountain, multitudes came, and he began to speak. He spoke from then down to Matthew 7. Amen. It was a spontaneous teaching. To assume that Matthew 5 to Matthew 7 is 4 days, or maybe 5 weeks, would be erroneous. That was something said in one discourse. So imagine, how many chapters in the book of Matthew do you think documented the teaching ministry of Christ? Hallelujah. It's impossible. So, the teaching ministry of Jesus is not what you really find documented. That's why when he rose again, he said, these were the words I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled. What do you think he was teaching in the scriptures? Hallelujah. What do you think he was teaching them in the synagogues? Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, there was a teaching ministry. Look at Acts 19, 8 to 10. What they do in the synagogues is to reason out scriptures. To teach. You are feeling sleepy, you are yawning, rise on your feet, you can walk around, stretch. It's a normal thing. Praise God. and come back. Keep learning. We shall be here. Praise God.
Acts of Apostles 19, 8 to 10.
You know, somebody said to me, the last time I felt this way was when I was in school. I said, yes, welcome back to school. Hallelujah.
Acts of Apostles 19, 8 to 10. The synagogues were for learning. Acts 19, 8 to 10. And he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. But when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. And this continued for how many years? He was reasoning how many days? How often? Daily. And that continued for how many years? Is daily figurative or literal? Hallelujah. The Greek word for daily is daily. Praise God. It was every day. Hallelujah. Literal. And it continued for how many years? 2 years. Look at the effect. So that all who dwelt in Asia did what? Heard the word of the Lord Jesus. Both Jews and Greeks. That seems like an hyperbole. Praise God. But then the point is, there was an intense dispensing of God's word. Everybody was coming around to listen to God's word. Hallelujah.
Say, all who dwelt in Asia heard the word.
Let's write. The word reasoning is rendered disputing by the KJV. The word reasoning is rendered disputing by the KJV. And it's from the Greek word dialegomai. From the Greek word dialegomai, and I'll spell for you, D-I-A, it's not tongues of angels, it's just Greek word, D-I-A-L-E-G-O-M-A-I, disputing. Now, even from your English understanding, when we say we're disputing over something, what does that mean? We're having discussions, right? Arguments and all. So, the word reasoning, rendered disputing by KJV, is from the Greek word dialegomai. D-I-A-L-E-G-O-M-A-I. Which means to discuss, to argue. Hallelujah. To discuss, to argue, to exhort, and to preach. I don't argue God's word. Well, not scriptural. Praise God. And you know, the moment I say that's not scriptural, you know what will start? What is going to start? Arguments. Praise God. So, the person that said he doesn't argue will now start arguing. Praise God. So, it means to discuss, to argue, to preach, or to exhort.
Glory to God. Let's keep writing.
This particular synagogue was in Ephesus. But they gave Paul an opportunity to teach and preach. Acts 19, 1 to 7. They gave Paul an opportunity to preach and to teach. Acts 19, 1 to 7. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all, and he went into the synagogue. So he was at Ephesus. Hallelujah. But they gave him an opportunity to do what? To teach. Let's keep writing. So Paul taught in their synagogues for 3 months. But when many began to speak evil of the way, he withdrew
with the disciples to the school of Tyrannus. Paul taught in the synagogues for 3 months, but when many began to speak evil of the way, he withdrew from them or with the disciples to the school of Tyrannus. Hallelujah. Tyrannus is spelled T-Y-R-A-N-N-U-S. The school of Tyrannus. Are still writing? The school of Tyrannus was owned by Tyrannus. Hallelujah. Tyrannus is a person. Praise God. An Ephesian. The school of Tyrannus was owned by Tyrannus, an Ephesian. Let's keep writing. It was not a college or anything like a school. It was not a college or anything like a school. It was a place of leisure. School of Tyrannus was a place of leisure. Someone say, wow, I like that. Hallelujah. So as they were studying, I see. So why are we condemning all these churches that are all about entertainment? Praise God.
Well, leisure,
it also means freedom from labor. So that means it was a place where people used to go and recline, away from work.
Hallelujah.
Place of leisure. Freedom from labor. That's the meaning in the Greek. It's a place of leisure. Freedom from labor. Or a place where there is leisure for anything. There's room for anything. Hallelujah.
Let's keep writing.
So it was like a hall or a park. It was like a hall or a park that could be rented for anything. It was like a hall or a park that could be rented for anything. That's school of Tyrannus.
That means Paul had to rent the space.
That means Paul had to rent the space. Or it could have been freely given for use. That means Paul had to rent the space or it could have been freely given for use. You know why we're looking at this? Because, the synagogues, he went to the synagogue, he began to teach, and as they began to resist the message, what did he do? He withdrew his disciples, and then he looked for another place. Because, doctrine is not joke. Hallelujah. It's not joke. And then, another thing to look at is that he wasn't trying to get influence in the synagogue at all costs. You know the way you want, look at this crowd, I can't just let them go. So, you now begin to bend the truth. So what did he do? He withdrew with just 12 men to another place. So, look at the impact of that. In 2 years, all in Asia, praise God. And he started with just how many men? 12 men.
Hallelujah. Let's keep writing.
Oral tradition is like history, something recorded verbally. Oral tradition has it that he taught from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. daily. Oral tradition has it that he taught from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. daily. Hallelujah. Isn't that how you learn in school? Taught from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. daily. No, let's be factual. Those who are recipients of such ministry, do you think they will be like us? It's impossible. Praise God. It's impossible. The city of Ephesus, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Is this how they taught? Amen. Serious training. So, Luke records that he taught for 2 years till the whole of Asia heard the word. Hallelujah. So let's keep writing. So, don't write that. Let's keep writing now. So the synagogues was a place for teaching from the scriptures. So the synagogue was a place for teaching the scriptures. Glory to God. Acts 9:20. Put this down in your notes. Acts 9:20. Acts 14:1. Acts 17:1-2. It's all from Acts, so you can just do 17:1 and then 17:10, 18:4, Acts 9:20, 14:1, 17:1-2, 17:10, 18:4. Every time the apostles went into the synagogue, it was for the sake of what? Teaching. And Bible specifically says they were searching the scriptures, reasoning out from the scriptures, showing and persuading men from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. Hallelujah. So there's a synagogue ministry that they had. So you can't use the gospels to summarize the ministry of Jesus. You'll be wrong. Hallelujah. For instance, if you look at Matthew 5, how many times did Jesus quote the Old Testament? In Matthew 5. Let's go now. Let's see. Look at your Bibles. Matthew 5. How many times did Jesus make a reference to the Old Testament? Glory to God. Huh? How many times? Once. Look at your Bibles, though. This is the part where if you came to church with a dictionary, you are in trouble. Matthew chapter 5. Are we there? How many times? I'm waiting. Is there any place at all? Where is the place? Verse 21. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder. Okay, so it was quoted from the law of Moses. How many times in Matthew 5 did he explain things concerning himself from the Old Testament? Have you ever seen it there before? Praise God. So imagine wanting to use that to judge how Jesus was teaching. Glory to God. It would seem as though he wasn't mentioning anything about his death, his resurrection, or making any reference to the Old Testament guys. But then we know from scriptures that Jesus had a teaching ministry that was different from this kind of discourse. Hallelujah. Matthew 9:35 records that Jesus went about all the cities and villages. Teaching in their synagogues. Are you seeing this clearly? It's not just roadside or in the boats and then he began to talk. No. Teaching where? In their synagogues. Praise God. And preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Matthew 13:54 also records, Matthew 13:54 also records that when he went into his own country, he taught them in their synagogues. Matthew 13:54 also records that when he went into his own country, he taught in their synagogues. You're not writing. Matthew 13:54 also records that when he went into his own country, he taught in their synagogues. Hallelujah. Now let's go to Matthew 26:55. Let's read this together. Matthew 26:55. So there was teaching ministry that was ongoing in the synagogues. Matthew 26:55. Glory to God. Matthew 26:55. And we're all going to read together. Are you there? One, two, go. In that hour, Jesus said to the multitudes, have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I sat daily with you, teaching in where? In the temple or the synagogue, and you did not seize me. So, how many times was he in the temple? I sat with you, how many times? Daily. What was he doing there? Teaching. So, is that what you find in Matthew to God? Can we compress that? Even my sermon, praise God, is bigger than Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Praise God. My sermon notes. So, Jesus' earthly ministry spanned for how long? 3 years and a half. And then you think all he said is in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. No way. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In fact, we don't have documentation of those things, those explanations that were going on. You know, many times I've seen it, he entered the synagogue and he began to teach. You don't have a documentation. We are just told he was doing that in the synagogue. But you know what? The understanding of his teaching was handed to the disciples. Amen. And then when he rose again from the third day, on the third day also, you discover that he had a teaching ministry that also spanned 40 days. And Bible says he was teaching them concerning the kingdom of God. We don't also have a documentation. Glory to God. Do we? Luke 24:27. He expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Where is that teaching? Where is it? You can't find it. You are only told what he did. Glory to God. So, Jesus had a teaching ministry. He was explaining things from the prophets. Now, from how he read the scriptures in the synagogue, at Luke 4, we had a clue already what he must have been sharing from the scriptures. Did you get that? From how he read the scriptures at Luke 4:14-18, what was there? I'm listening. What was there? Luke 4:14-18. What happened at Luke 4:14-18? We read it earlier. That's where he said today, this scripture is what? So that means when he opened Isaiah, what did he show them in Isaiah? What did he show them in Isaiah? Huh? Concerning himself, right? So, Luke 24:27 also, what did he do? He walked them through scripture, showing them things concerning who? So we have an idea, the kind of teaching ministry he also had, with them daily. Before he rose from the dead, or before he died and rose again. He must have been teaching them concerning himself. Hallelujah. Look at John 5:39. John 5:39. Be alert. See, when I say, listen, what did he say? Just respond. Even if you miss it, it's part of learning. Praise God. John 5:39. We have a clue. The kind of teaching ministry that Jesus had in the synagogues. He couldn't have been sharing just every other thing. Talking about divorce. Do you know that every time Jesus mentioned those issues, they asked him questions? Do you think Jesus was teaching taxation? How to pay your taxes? He didn't bother. But the day they came to tempt him, to whom shall we give taxes? Hallelujah. Then another, give unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give to God what belongs to God. Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? Then Jesus said, what did Moses tell you? Moses says, we should write certificate of, it's because of the added acts that you guys have. On a normal day, nobody should have divorce. Praise God. Hallelujah. Nobody should have divorce. So, on the case of sexual immorality, except. Now, in the New Testament, even that except, praise God, is not really pronounced. Do you know why? Because you can actually forgive it. Amen. It will be very painful, won't it? Wouldn't it? It will be very painful, hard, difficult, but you know you can forgive it. Glory to God. And it doesn't have to be a basis for divorce. Hallelujah. And then, the only time as a pastor, I would advise any man or woman to walk out of a marriage because of sexual immorality is when, it's a habit, one. Number two, your life is already endangered. If the person has concubines, they can kill you. Praise God. So in such cases, we say, walk out. It's the same thing with domestic violence. If somebody is beating his or her spouse, it can be his or her. Praise God. Hope you know. Yeah, he beat the lady. It's not always the lady. The lady can beat the man. Praise God. Depending on the circumstances. Hallelujah. There was a story of a man who, the wife is so huge, the guy very short. Praise God. And then one night, the woman was trying to be romantic. The guy had slept on the couch. So the woman carried him, praise God, into the bedroom and put him on the bed and put the duvet. Praise God. So the man woke up and found himself elsewhere. Say, what happened? Say, honey, I just carried you. You did what? Praise God. You know, the same way a man carries a woman. Say, the woman just felt there was nothing. You got carried the man. Hallelujah. It's too bad. You should just go and tender apology to all the men in the world. Praise God. So, it can be both ways. But the only time we'll say a man or woman can walk out of such relationships is when, you are going to die. Praise God. this person will kill you. God does not like divorce. He doesn't like murder too. Praise God. So please, quick go. Quickly go. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You think it's a joke? Sometimes you are hearing noises from your neighbors. Hey, hurry, it's the woman that is beating the man. And sometimes the man will cover it up and say, Timbamwe, and then he's suffering in silence. Hallelujah. So it could be both ways. So Jesus must have been showing them things concerning himself. That means what he did on the day on the road to Emmaus was not a new thing. When he walked them through scriptures, it wasn't new. John chapter 5, verse 39 to 40. Glory to God. John 5, 39 to 40. Just follow these things. You know, God's word changes our lives. It's so beautiful. Just follow these things. Keep writing. Keep paying attention. You just discover a transformation. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let me say this to you. Any task or any kind of training or discipline that is not hard is not discipline. Do you know why it is called discipline? Because it is not convenient. Amen. So if you come to church and after church, your makeup is intact, everything is intact, you never sweated, nothing, you just had, you didn't go for training. Amen. But you see, if you are in church and you are stretching your body and you're, hey, that's it. Glory to God. That's it. So that after this teaching like this, when I say, oh, you're my guest, let up, you are going nowhere. Praise God. There's no strength. Hallelujah. There's no strength. You just focus on the heavenly race. Because, praise God. But you know, when we don't discipline men like this in the place of God's word, that's when they have time and body and energy for all sorts of frivolities. Glory to God. Can we be singing in the church and you're carrying chair? And you're blowing whistle. What is that? Hallelujah. Do you have enough energy? I'm blowing whistle. African magic. Praise God. We should leave church. We say, Emoji, let's dance. Because of the word. Hallelujah. Those guys that Jesus camped for 3 days, what happened to them? Jesus said, I'm people on my friend too. On their way. They were already tired. And guess what? There was no choreography in that meeting. It was just the word. When they were done feeding on the word, they were going to faint. Jesus had to make a miracle happen to feed them. Hallelujah. That's it. Hallelujah. So, it's not church until you go through stress. Hallelujah. John 5, 39 to 40. John 5, 39 to 40. What does it say? Let's read together. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but these are they which testify of me, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. Was this in the course of his ministry? Right? Was this at the close of his ministry? Or in the course of the ministry? So what did he show them about the scriptures? Is that different from what he said when he rose again? No. So there's no way Jesus would have used the scriptures without making a reference to what was said concerning him. And how that he is the fulfillment of those things. Amen. Look at John, the same John 5, verse 45. Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. For if you had believed in Moses, you would have believed me. For he wrote about who? He wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how would you believe my words? So Jesus was showing them himself from the scriptures, right from the beginning. Hallelujah. You know, we have seen the beginning of his ministry. He says, today, this scripture is what? And what did he do? He showed them himself. In the course of his ministry, he says, you send the scriptures in them, you think you have done that, but these are they which testify of me. At the close of his ministry on the earth now, he also expounded to them in all the scriptures, the things concerning who? Himself. Consistent. Hallelujah. So this is how to teach the scriptures. Glory to God. Hallelujah. This is how to teach what? The scriptures. Let's write. The word expounded. The word expounded as used at Luke 24:27. The word expounded as used at Luke 24:27 is the Greek word. Now, I'm going to give you the spelling because I cannot pronounce it. Praise God. You know, I check pronunciations before using them. So, those ones that I've not checked before coming. Yesterday was a long day. Hallelujah. So, because of that, I'll just give you the spelling. It's the Greek word spelled D-I-E-R-M-E-N-E-U-O. D-I-E-R-M-E-N-E-U-O. Diamenuo. Anyhow, hallelujah. It means to explain thoroughly. Expounded to them. It means to explain thoroughly. Hallelujah. It means to explain thoroughly. That is the Greek word from which the word interpret is also derived. That is the Greek word from which the word interpret is also derived. That is the Greek word from which the word interpret is also derived. So, it also means to translate into one's native language. It also means to translate into one's native language. I'll give you an example. Acts 9:36, concerning Dorcas, it says, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. That's the same word used. Diamenuo. Hallelujah. It means to translate into one's native language. That's the same word Paul used in 1 Corinthians to describe the interpretation of tongues. And you know, from that you can see, you can have a clue. Glory to God. That's the same word Paul used in 1 Corinthians to describe the interpretation of tongues. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 12:30. 1 Corinthians 14:5. 1 Corinthians 14:13. 1 Corinthians 14:27. 1 Corinthians 12:30. 14:5. 14:13. 14:27. Still writing? So, taking a clue from its use for the gift of interpretation of tongues. So, taking a clue from its use for the gift of interpretation of tongues, it is clear that there can be no understanding where there is no interpretation. Taking a clue from its use for the gift of interpretation of tongues, it is clear that there can be no understanding where there is no what? There is no interpretation. Hallelujah. This means Jesus interpreted the Old Testament. This means Jesus interpreted the Old Testament writings. Because it was mysterious to the people. This means Jesus interpreted the Old Testament writings because it was mysterious to the people. Hallelujah. This is why the Old Testament writings are described as mystery or mysteries. This is why the Old Testament writings are described as mystery or mysteries. Hallelujah. This is why the Old Testament writings are described as mysteries or mysteries. Let's write down these scriptures as references. Romans 16:25-26. Romans 16:25-26. 1 Corinthians 2:6-8. 1 Corinthians 2:6-8. Ephesians 1:9. Ephesians 3:8-9. Colossians 1, 24 to 27. Romans 16, 25 to 26. 1 Corinthians 2, 6 to 8. Ephesians 1, 9. Ephesians 3, 8 to 9. Colossians 1, 27, 24 to 27. So, the teaching ministry of Christ was an interpretation of the prophets. So, the teaching ministry of Christ was an interpretation of the prophets. So, the teaching ministry of Christ was an interpretation of the prophets. Glory to God. That is, listen, what I'm saying is this. Or the implication of what we just wrote is this. When he says he expounded to them in all the scriptures, things concerning himself, the word expounding there is the same word that means to interpret. And I'm saying the reason why Jesus had to interpret the Old Testament was because it was mysterious. Amen. What is the meaning of mystery? What is the meaning of mystery? Something that is what? Unknown. Something that is secret. So Jesus interpreted the prophecies. Because without the interpretation, there's no way the understanding of those prophecies will be gotten. Amen. 2 Peter 1, look at your Bible. 2 Peter 1, 20 to 21. 2 Peter 1, 20 to 21. Make sure you are right. And don't be a lazy writer. 2 Peter 1, 20 to 21. Are we there? Bible says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but only men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So prophecy needs interpretation, right? But it is not to be of what? Private interpretation. In fact, the word private there means self or own, personal. Self-interpretation. You know, those people say, yeah, the Bible can mean different things to different people. You can interpret it in your own way. That is what this is. He says it is not of private interpretation. Hallelujah. Praise God. So prophecy is not by self or by one's own interpretation. Glory to God. Let's keep writing. The word interpretation. Prophecy is not by self or one's own interpretation. The word interpretation is the Greek word epilusis. The word interpretation is the Greek word epilusis. E-P-I-L-U-S-I-S. The word interpretation is the Greek word epilusis, which not only means an explanation, but a loosening or unloosening of what is said. Which not only means an explanation, it also means a loosening or an unloosening of what is said. An unloosing, rather, of what is said. It doesn't just mean explanation. It means to loosen something or to unloose it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's write this. In fact, Mount's Concise Greek and English Dictionary, of the New Testament, Mount is M-O-U-N-C-E. Mount's Concise Greek and English Dictionary of the New Testament defines it as interpretation of what is enigmatical and obscure. Defines it as what, as an interpretation of what is enigmatical and obscure. You know, when they say something is an enigma, it's obscure, it's mysterious. Praise God. Now listen, the idea of no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation is even first about the prophets. Amen. Listen up. The idea of no prophecy is of any private interpretation is also first about who? The prophets. It is not first about the recipients. Even the prophets themselves. The prophecy did not come from their own private interpretation. Amen. They didn't just give any meaning to those words.
They were not the ones that spoke it out by their own understanding.
Amen.
They did not interpret their words the way they chose to. The prophet too. So, when he says no prophecy of any of the scripture is of any private interpretation, he's talking about the prophet first. That's why he says, for no prophecy came by the will of man. Because only men of God spoke as they were what? Moved by the Spirit of God. In fact, some translations will help. Look at the NIV. Just listen. NIV translation says, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. Hallelujah. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So imagine this. The prophet spoke and they did not, it was not from their own interpretation or understanding. Glory to God. The NCV version says, most of all, you must understand this. No prophecy in the scriptures ever comes from the prophet's own interpretation. So imagine that the prophets did not have the right to give a meaning to their words. The prophets did not have the right to give a meaning to their words, even though it was spoken through them. How much more you and I today? Praise God. The verse of the Bible can mean something to this one, can mean another thing to this one, can mean another thing to that person. So why was it written? Praise God. Anything that is written has a definite meaning. Hallelujah. Are you in church? If I say we are resuming by 10 a.m., can 10 a.m. mean 10 p.m. to you? And mean 2 p.m. to this person? And when we say, why is this so? Why would you think 10 p.m.? And you say, no, that was the rhema I got while I was studying the Logos. Praise God. The rhema that jumped to me was 10 p.m. And the church will be closed by then. Praise God. We don't do like that with earthly things, conversations. And there's this idea, you know our God, you cannot limit him. Amen. Nobody is limiting God. What we are saying is that God communicates intelligently. When he says something, that is what it means. When you say he says it, but it means different things to different people, then you are saying he's the author of confusion. Hallelujah. That means we don't even need teachers in the body of Christ. Did you get that? When we say we need a teacher or there's a teacher, that means there's a systematic truth to be presented. The reason why we went to school is because mathematics has a system of, you know, learning, of knowledge, such that if you go to a school where they say 2 plus 2 is 7, you have a right to withdraw. You will not say that's his own rhema. Praise God. Or, let's not criticize. That's the teacher's understanding. Yes, it is his understanding, but it is wrong. Hallelujah. So prophecy did not come from the prophet's interpretation. That's the same way you and I are not, we don't have any right to interpret the words of the prophet conveniently based on our own situations or circumstances. So what did Jesus do? He interpreted the prophets. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, let's write. So prophecy came through the Spirit. Prophecy came through men by the Spirit. So prophecy came through men by the Spirit. This is the same way the interpretation came through men by the same Spirit. Prophecy came through men by the Spirit. This is the same way the interpretation came through men by the same Spirit. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So prophecy came through men by the Spirit. The interpretation also came by the same. Amen. Now, when we say interpretation came by the same Spirit, it doesn't mean when I sit and say, Holy Ghost, show me. Holy Ghost, show me. Praise God. That's not what we're saying. It has already been interpreted. Hallelujah.
Now, look at this.
So, you know, we said Jesus interpreted prophets. So, let's write. So, the New Testament writings are interpretations of Old Testament writings. The New Testament writings are interpretations of Old Testament writings. Praise God.
The New Testament writings are interpretations of Old Testament writings.
So, you can't be said to be interpreting unless you are explaining the Old Testament. You cannot be said to be interpreting unless you are explaining the Old Testament. If what you are reading is the New Testament, you are not to interpret. Praise God. I'm not sure if you got that. You cannot be said to be interpreting unless you are explaining where. What? The Old Testament. When you read the New Testament, what are you doing? You are reading an interpretation. Praise God. When I read, for instance, God so loved the world, and he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you understand what I just said? Do you understand that scripture? For by grace we have been saved through faith, not of works, is the gift of God. Do you understand it? Listen, in the New Testament, when people do not accept the doctrine, it is not because they don't understand it. It is because they don't agree. Amen. Some way, somehow, false teaching might have crept into their hearts, strongholds have been built, so when they see the truth, they don't take it. It is not because it is not plain. Hallelujah. It is plain. It is clear. That's why in his argument, you will know he understood what you said. Every believer has the Spirit of God. He says, no, I cannot. It's not that it is not clear. But it does not agree with that submission. In the Old Testament, it was a different thing entirely. The things that were said were not as clear. We're going to get there.
Hallelujah.
So we're not interpreting New Testament. We are reading an interpretation. Let's see Ephesians 2:20. That's why the Bible says we are built on the foundation of the prophets and the apostles. Jesus being the chief cornerstone. So the prophets prophesied it. Jesus and his apostles explained their prophecies. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2:20. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20.
Glory to God. Are we all there? Let's read together. Once you go.
Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. What does it mean when it says we are built on the foundations of the apostles and the prophets? Because both offices were responsible for the message. God used the prophets to speak about these things. And Jesus explained those things to the apostles, and the apostles now took it to the world. So, when the apostles got to any region, and they were preaching, men were not to start looking for the interpretation of their words. Their words were clear enough. Glory to God. Their words were clear enough because they were interpretations of the things that were not very clear in the Old Testament. Hallelujah. So on the day of Pentecost, when Peter spoke, was it plain speech? Yes. Repent therefore and be converted, and you shall receive for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. They understood it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See Luke 24 again. Let's go back to Luke 24, verse 27. Luke 24, 27. And beginning at Moses, in all the scriptures, he expounded to them the things concerning, say to your neighbor, things concerning himself. Say to your neighbor, the scriptures are about Jesus. So Jesus explained the scriptures to men as bearing witness to him. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
So when he says he expounded to them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. That means he interpreted the prophets by showing them things concerning himself. Now see the result, verse 32. Luke 24, 32.
Hallelujah.
Luke 24, 32. It's important. What did they say? It says, and they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked to us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us, did not our hearts what? Burn. That word burn in the Greek is the word that means to kindle or to set on fire. Our hearts were burning. While he did what? While he opened the scriptures. Listen, when he says while he opened the scriptures to us, do you know they were not turning physical pages? I hope you know they didn't have a Bible. When he says open the scriptures, it was the explanation. In fact, that's the word, right? That's the word open is the Greek word D-I-A-N-O-I-G-O. The word open in the Greek, D-I-A-N-O-I-G-O, which means to open one's mind. Hallelujah. It means to open one's mind or cause to understand. That's why they said our hearts burned. It means to cause to understand. So until the time when Jesus explained it, the scriptures were closed to them. Hallelujah. The scriptures were closed. They couldn't comprehend it. Hallelujah. He opened it to us. It caused us to understand the context. It also means to rouse in one the faculty of understanding. It means to rouse, R-O-U-S-E, to rouse in one the faculty of understanding. Do you know what this means? From that day, he gave them the approach to understanding the Bible. Whenever they consulted the scriptures, they knew what to look out for. Hallelujah. Now when you say somebody understands physics, it doesn't need a textbook to tell you what it means. Because he already learned it from the textbook well enough. So on the road, anyway, he can give you an explanation. There's a faculty of understanding. Hallelujah. The same word was used at verse 45. Luke 24, 45. I'll start from verse 44. It means to open one's mind. That is how the scriptures are comprehended. Luke 24, 44. Then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning who? Concerning who? Hallelujah. What happened in verse 45? Let's read together. He did what? He opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Hallelujah. That's the same word. When he opened the scriptures to us, he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Glory to God. So, if a man wants to comprehend the scriptures, what do we show him from the scriptures? What do we show him from the scriptures? Christ, right? And we show him from scriptures that he is what? The fulfillment. Hallelujah. These were the words that I spoke to you while I was still with you. All things must be what? Fulfilled. Which were written in the law of Moses. So when we go to the law of Moses, what are we looking for? Christ. Hallelujah. When we look at the burnt offerings, and we are not seeing burnt offerings. Praise God. We are seeing tithes. Do you know that in the law of Moses, part of the sacrificial system of atonement, do you know one of the instructions given to them is that when they take the animal and they are done with the stuff, with the sacrifice, they must not break the bone? Praise God. What do you think that was? It was detailed. Hallelujah. It was detailed. You must not break the bone. They were given instructions. There must not be any blemish or defect on the lamb. Bible refers to Jesus as the spotless lamb. It was all a type. Praise God. Bible says in Hebrews 10:1, the law having a shadow of the good things to come. So the law was a shadow. At Colossians 2, Paul says, let no one judge you in food, in drink, in festivals, for all these are what? Shadows, Jesus being the substance. So when I look at the law of Moses, I'm not just looking for rituals, ceremonies. I'm looking at the things written concerning Christ. It says all the prophets, and it says the Psalms. Praise God. Now when it says all the prophets, it does not include Elijah and Elisha. Praise God. And that's not to demean them. Elisha and Elijah were prophets that were judges in Israel. So that's why some of the involvements they had with kings, you know, they would talk about the wars. They, you know, it was Elisha that said, if you know how many people are with us, you know, they sent an army to him and they were on the mountain. He says, if God will open your eyes, praise God. And you see that there are more that are with us than are against us. Hallelujah. And the servant's eyes opened and he saw a host of people, host of angels ready for battle. Praise God. Hallelujah. If a Nigerian, Pentecostal was on that mountain with them, the right song for the moment will have been, who can battle with the Lord? Who can battle? Praise God. They were judges. But there were prophets that were not judges. There were prophets that were given to utterances. Hallelujah. Isaiah, Jeremiah, even Samuel. All the prophets that spoke. Glory be to God. No, Elijah was a judge in Israel. And he was a prophet. So that's why you see his encounter with Baal. Isaiah did not have any of that. In the book of Lamentation, the prophet Jeremiah was crying. Amen. They've overtaken our land. They've taken it. He could do nothing. Because he power. Praise God. But you know, if it was Moses, Moses would start crying. Yeah, they've taken, Moses would say, Elijah would have said, if I be a man of God, hallelujah. Do you know, Elijah confronted the prophets of Baal and he told them he was taunting their God, mocking their God. He says, maybe he's sleeping. Praise God. Maybe he has gone on a far journey. Maybe call on, and they kept calling. He got to a point, those guys were cutting themselves. Their God is wicked. And he was just looking at them. Praise God. Because the God knew that if he had come out, even him, praise God, will have entered problem. So Elijah was there. And then he told them, wet the ground, when it was his own turn. Wet the ground, wet everywhere, put water. Bible says, while he was yet speaking. Glory to God. Fire came down from heaven and devoured all those sacrifices. Look at Moses. Moses will go and meet Pharaoh. And say, let my people go. They will not go. Don't worry, we shall see tomorrow. Praise God. The guys will go, turn the water to blood. Yeah, hey, we'll let your people go now. Let's talk. Say, after they've relieved them, say, I will not let them go. You will not let them go. Don't worry. We'll see tomorrow. Praise God. By the time he goes, it is frog that will enter all kinds of things. Glory to God. So when he says he expounded to them in all the prophets, he is talking about utterances, prophecies, men that spoke concerning the coming of Jesus. And then he says the sounds. Hallelujah. The sounds. The sounds are not spiritual incantations. Ayajo Bibeli. Yoruba guys say, Ayajo Bibeli. Ayajo Bibeli ni maka fun. Praise God. It's a song. The Psalms are not spiritual incantations. They speak about the person of Christ. So when we look at the Psalms, what are we looking for? Christ. Hallelujah. Christ from the scriptures. What David said concerning him. Isn't that how Peter used the Psalms? He showed them the things said concerning Jesus. Paul the same. This is how men have an understanding of the scriptures. It is about a person. Hallelujah. And this person came as a fulfillment of all that was written concerning him. Hallelujah. Are you getting this? So this is how to present the kerygma. So let's write. It's clear that this wasn't just a public cry to call attention. That is, this mode of teaching wasn't just a public cry to call attention. No. This was a systematic presentation of truth. This was a systematic presentation of truth. Note the sources of his teaching. Note the sources of his teaching. The law of Moses, the prophets, and the sounds. The law of Moses, the prophets, and the sounds. The gospel must be preached and taught with these details. The gospel must be preached and taught with these details. Gospel must be preached and taught with these
details. This is why
Acts 17, 10 to 12 will remain a classic scenario. This is why Acts 17, 10 to 12 will remain a classic scenario. What is in Acts 17, 10 to 12? The Bereans. They sent the scriptures daily to find out if what they were told was so. Because Paul must have taught them from the Old Testament scriptures.
Hallelujah. Don't forget,
I thought we were going to finish today.
Don't forget, we already saw how the element of Bible prophecy is what authenticates the gospel as being divinely inspired.
Don't forget, we already saw that the element of Bible prophecy is what authenticates the gospel as being divinely inspired. You know, right?
Don't forget that we already saw that the element of Bible prophecy is what authenticates the gospel as being divinely inspired. Praise God. Hallelujah. We have seen how God spoke these things ahead.
We have seen how God spoke these things ahead before they came to pass.
We have seen how God spoke these things ahead before they came to pass as a testimonial to his foreknowledge.
We've seen how God spoke these things ahead before they came to pass as a testimonial to his foreknowledge.
Praise God.
God spoke these things ahead before they came to pass as a testimonial to his foreknowledge. Glory to God.
Let's see two of those instances again. Isaiah 42.
Isaiah 42, 1 to 9. God deliberately spoke about these things. He prophesied them through the prophets so that men will know that it's not a coincidence. It was a plan.
Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah 42, and I'll read from verse 1 down to 9.
Glory to God.
Isaiah 42, 1 to 9. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not rise out, he will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. He will not fear nor be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastland shall wait for his law. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and the earth, and stretched them out, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread forth the earth and that which comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it, and spirit to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness, and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison, those who sit in darkness from the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not do it. My glory I will not do it. I will not give to another, nor my praise to who carved images. So he's talking about gods and idols. It now goes to verse 9. Let's read together. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Hallelujah. This is how God operates. He says the former things are what? You know, there are certain things he told them before. They've come to pass. And I'm telling you about new things. And before they happen, I'm already telling you. Praise God. Do you know why he's saying that? To let them know there's a difference between him, the God of Israel, and idols, gods. Hallelujah. And remember I said that in every religion on the earth, you don't find all these prophecies about somebody or something, you know, hundreds of prophecies, you don't find it. It's only in the gospel. Hallelujah. And that sets Christianity apart from every religion on the face of the earth. Look at this one. Isaiah 44.
Isaiah 44, 6 to 9.
Isaiah 44. Verse 6 to 9. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. Verse 7, let's read together. And who can proclaim as I do? Then let him declare it and set it in order for me. Since I appointed the ancient people and the things that are coming and shall come, let them show this to them. Hallelujah. He now says, do not fear and not be afraid. Have I not told you from that time and declared it? You are my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? Indeed, there is no other rock. I know not one. Hallelujah. Look at verse 9. Let's read together. Those who make an image, all of them are useless, and their precious things shall not profit. They are their own witnesses. They neither see nor know, that they may be ashamed. Hallelujah.
You see again that he's making a comparison, right? Between himself, the God of Israel, and idols, gods of the earth. Glory be to God. Isaiah 46, 9 to 13.
Isaiah 46, 9 to 13. Hallelujah. Isaiah 46, 9 to 13.
Let's read together from verse 9. Hold on. Isaiah 46, 9. Let's read together.
Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. Verse 10. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things that are not yet done. Saying my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Praise God. Hallelujah. Verse 11 says, calling a bird of prey from the east, the man who executes my counsel from a far country. Indeed, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have proposed it, I will also do it. Verse 12, listen to me, you stubborn-hearted, who are far from righteousness. I bring my righteousness near, it shall not be far off. My salvation shall not linger, and I will place salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory. You see, he's talking about the new covenant. And then he's saying, see, who is like me? Declaring things declaring the end from where? From the beginning. You know, James says, known to God from eternity are all his works. Hallelujah. But then it was not just with him. He was saying those things. He was communicating, revealing those things. So that when they come to pass, we'll know that it was not a coincidence. It's not something that just happened and then we are now trying to make sense out of the event. God said it. Hallelujah. And it happened the way he said it. You can't say this is a coincidence. Hallelujah. So our faith is not built on cunningly devised fables. Amen. It is built on the integrity of God's word. Praise God. Hallelujah.
So, let's write. So the kerygma must be taught as the promises of God fulfilled in Christ. So the kerygma must be taught as the promises of God fulfilled in Christ. Kerygma must be taught as the fulfillment or as the promises of God fulfilled in Christ. The prophecies capture four specific areas. The prophecies capture four specific areas. The prophecies capture four specific areas. Number one. Don't write number one. Just write one. Praise God. Number one is incarnation or birth. Is incarnation or birth. Jesus' birth is the incarnation. Praise God. The incarnation or his birth. Number two is ministry. Is ministry. Number three is sufferings, death, and resurrection. These are the areas captured by the prophets. His incarnation and or birth, his ministry, his suffering, death, and resurrection. His suffering, death, and resurrection. Lastly, his ongoing ministry in the body of Christ. His ongoing ministry in the body of Christ.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God. His ongoing ministry in the body,
in the body of Christ. Amen. Look, for instance, you know, I showed us how that the birth of Jesus was prophesied by the prophets. And when they were to find out, what they consulted was the scriptures. Look at Matthew 2 again. When they were to locate even where he was born, they had to just go to the scriptures. Simple. Imagine, oh, listen, those were his enemies. Hallelujah. His enemies. Men who were hell-bent on killing him. Yet, because it had been prophesied where the Messiah was going to be born, they knew where to locate him. Hallelujah. Imagine an assassin knowing your location from your God. Praise God. Do you understand? Like, God had written those things. So, when they were planning to kill him, they went to read what God said. Okay, God said he'll be in Bethlehem. And they went there. Hallelujah. It was that detailed. Matthew 2. As I begin to plan to begin to close. Matthew chapter 2. From verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod, the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Hallelujah. Verse 3, when Herod, the king, heard this, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests, you know, I told you, they are hyperbole. When he says he was troubled with all Jerusalem, Mary's mother was not part of them. Praise God. So it's not everybody in Jerusalem. There were lots of people in Jerusalem that were not troubled. They didn't even know anything had happened. So the idea of all Jerusalem here were the elders and the councils, all those guys with him. Glory be to God. So troubled with all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. Look at that. Verse 5. So they said to him, in where? In Bethlehem of, for thus it is written by the prophet. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who would shepherd my people Israel. So they knew that Bethlehem was his place of birth from the scriptures. Hallelujah. And you know, I said to you that before Jesus was born, his parents were not in Bethlehem. Do you realize? They were not in Bethlehem. They were elsewhere. So you can't say they had planned it well. No. It was a policy by the government of the land that took them to Bethlehem in the last hour of his birth. So the leaders said everybody must go to their hometown to go and register. That's how come Jesus was born in Bethlehem. So it's not that they read the prophets and they knew they were going to give birth to him in Bethlehem. And what's her name? Mary. Mary had conceived. Somebody gave her pregnancy. She said it's the Holy Ghost. Praise God. So they agreed. They all agreed it's the Holy Ghost. This is the Christ. And they read the scriptures. Bethlehem. They now went to Bethlehem. They now stayed there. They were not trying to fulfill prophecy. Hallelujah. Joseph was about to get married to Mary. She was already betrothed to him. Suddenly, she has pregnancy of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You really don't know the implication of this until your wife tells you that. Hey, I'm pregnant. The Holy Ghost. Praise God. Hey. And that was it. And they were in their land. Waiting. Bible says Joseph was going to put her away. Being a just man, it was going to be privately. Praise God. An unjust person will say, you only ran no. Praise God. So, but he's a just man. So that means he did not believe. Is that not it? Did not believe he was pregnancy by the Holy Ghost. What are you saying? Praise God. Pregnancy by what? Holy Ghost. No. This marriage is over. Praise God. So he was going to put her away. Because it's something that is unbelievable. Hallelujah. It has never happened before. But Isaiah the prophet says, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. A virgin shall conceive. He said it. It's called a sign. Hallelujah. And it happened exactly as the prophet said it. And in the final hours, leading to the birth of Jesus, a policy not orchestrated by the parents of Christ came about, and they had to go to Bethlehem. And the prophets had prophesied it by the Spirit. Glory to God. So, you know, that's the reason why all these prophets about election I see this person. I see Jonathan on the throne. And then Buhari enters. Something is wrong. Praise God. No matter how volatile the events are, if it is by the Spirit of God, it will beat all those volatility. Praise God. But when it's permutation and combination in your mind, because you have interest in the government, praise God. Do you know how many pastors in this country, what a shame, prophesied the death of Obasanjo? He will not get there second time. He got there second time. He will not finish. He finished. Praise God. And when he finished, he began to write letters. Hallelujah. He still has strength to be writing letters to show that he's not sick. Praise God. False prophets. But the prophets of the old covenant, because it did not come by their will. Bible says only men of God spoke as they were what? Moved by the Spirit. And everything came to pass according as they said it. Hallelujah. So when Jesus stood in that temple also, he said, today, concerning his ministry, this prophecy, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let me begin to close. I was going to continue from here next week. Having seen that the kerygma has a particular content, the prophecies, right? Explanations of it, showing men that God said it and God has done it, right? Prophecy spoken, fulfillment in Christ Jesus. That is the content, right? The gospel is God said it. He has done it in Christ. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 1:20-19. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, preached among you, was not yes and no. For the Son of God, preached among you by me and Silvanus, was not yes and no. For all the promises of God in Christ Jesus are yes and amen. So, promises made, promises fulfilled. Does it make sense to say we can preach the gospel by our lifestyle? Hallelujah. That as I'm just living my life in this environment, people will understand that God said something and he has now fulfilled it in Christ. Is that not the gospel? Can people understand that from my living? It's impossible. So the kerygma, you know, I told you kerygma is from the root word keruzo. The kerygma must be keruzoed. Hallelujah. What is keruzo? Speaking. A public proclamation. So you are not preaching the gospel until you are opening your mouth. Hallelujah. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by what? By the word of God. How do men receive faith? By hearing. Is it by observing? Ah, that guy, he doesn't fight. Praise God. He must be a Christian. His God shall be my God. He is not born again. Hallelujah. That woman, man, she doesn't fight in this environment though. She's very generous. She's always good. Christmas, I like her. From today, I'll be going to their church. She is not born again. Faith comes by what? Hearing. There must be hearing. Romans 10 chapter 10. Men must encounter the gospel via words. Via words. Romans 10. And that's why we're emphatic about the preaching of the gospel. Because that is the only way. The kerygma is communicated by words. Romans 10 from verse 14. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without the preacher? Did you hear that? How shall they what? Without what? A preacher. Hallelujah. Then what does he say again? And how shall they preach unless they are what? Sent. Look at the next one. As it is written, how beautiful are what? The feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. How beautiful are what? So is there a deliberate going required? He says, the feet of men that bring it. Hallelujah. So look at the instruction. Go into the world and preach to every creature. You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And the apostles were going everywhere. Paul at Acts 20, he says, I have not sworn to declare to you the whole counsel of God. He says, I taught you publicly and from house to house. It's not passive, guys. Praise God. Because the only way the content can be understood is by explanation. So Jesus expounded to them and sent them to do what? To expound to others. Hallelujah. So there's no such thing as, I'm not preaching the gospel, I'm just living my life. And as I'm living my life, see, do you know how many people have been born again? Praise God. That's not right. The only way to preach or proclaim the kerygma is to use words. Praise God. Hallelujah. Is to do what? Use words.
Praise God. In fact, let me say this.
In the preaching of the gospel, people should not see you. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4. I'm observing it. I'm reading. No. People should not even see you. You should not be under the spotlight. Your life should not be relevant. Hallelujah. It should be about the word. Glory be to God. You know, it's easy to say, well, if he's not living right, he may hinder people from receiving the gospel. I agree with you. But then, those who will not receive the gospel because he's not living right are those within his limited scope. Maybe family, friends, workplace, some two or three people at your workplace. So it's good to live right and, you know, walk in the light of the things you have received as a Christian. But the point is this. When Philip went to minister to that eunuch, what did the eunuch know about him? Hallelujah. Nothing. Eunuch was not, Philip was not smoking ganja. But if he had just finished smoking, and he now went to preach, and he has used, what do they use? Tom Tom and all those things. And he has cleared everything. Do you know that Enoch will believe the gospel? And know nothing about whatever he had done. Hallelujah. Nothing! But do you know what? Those in his immediate stuff, they will, hey pastor. Those are the people that will mock him. So, we are commended to right living, not even so that men can know we are Christians. It's just right to live right. Praise God. Isn't it right? Yes. So, then secondly, it affects those in our immediate environment. You can put a stumbling block to, you know, before people by your lifestyle. But see, a bulk of the people you are to reach with the gospel are not people who know anything about your life. What God has sent you to give to them is simply what? The word. Hallelujah. The what? The word. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 4 in verse 5. Paul says, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus, and ourselves as bond servants for Jesus' sake. We are not proclaiming ourselves. Praise God. Now there's a portion of scripture that has been so misunderstood. Look at 2 Corinthians 3. I always get there. Anytime I'm talking about evangelism by your life or lifestyle. Let me restate. Your lifestyle is important. Amen. Your lifestyle is what?
Yeah, Pastor is always going to necessary.
Praise God. Now you need to necessary. Praise God. After this meeting now, you don't, hey, it's not here you heard it, though. Praise God. Your lifestyle is important, but that is not what God is counting on to save a multitude, to save many. If I get on a bus, do they know me? The people that are preached to you, do you know them? Do they know you? Who from you? Where from? Nobody knows. Hallelujah. Praise God. Nobody knows. But the message itself is powerful. Praise God. As I'm preaching, they are not even seeing me. They are hearing the words. And in my words, the Holy Ghost is finding free course. And he's convicting the heart of man. Hallelujah. Convicting the heart of men. And before they know it, they are persuaded. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. Praise God. So it is by the preaching of the word. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 1 to 3. 2 Corinthians 3, 1 to 3. Portion of scripture that has been misunderstood to mean that we can by just living our lifestyle be bringing men to Christ. No. Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? You are epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is of the earth. Hallelujah. When he says you are an epistle, written in our hearts, known and read by all men, he is not saying that they were preaching gospel by their living. He says, do we need an epistle of commendation? Do we need anybody to say, these guys are preachers? What do we need? We only need to show you as a proof of our ministry. Hallelujah. That is, if men want to know if I'm a preacher of the gospel, they only need to see the products. So the Corinthians were what? The epistle of commendation. He said it elsewhere differently. 1 Corinthians 9. Said it elsewhere differently. 1 Corinthians 9. So Paul was not saying the Corinthians were preaching the gospel by their lifestyle. No! What he was saying is that they were the fruit or the epistle of commendation of his apostleship. Of his apostleship or of his ministry. 1 Corinthians 9. Do you know what's affecting this? It's the fans. 1 Corinthians 9 from verse 1. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are you not my work in the Lord? Have you seen that? If I am not an apostle to others, yet doubtless I am to you. Why? Why? Read the next line. Why? For you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. What he said here is the same thing he's saying at 2 Corinthians 3. You are the proof of my work. Hallelujah. He said it also elsewhere. Philippians. Glory to God. Philippians. Praise God. Philippians. Very powerful. Very powerful Philippians. Glory be to God. Philippians. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And I'll read from verse 1. It says, therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and my what? My joy and my what? And my crown. So stand fast in the Lord. Glory be to God. I think there's another place here, but I can't find it readily. He says, are you not our joy on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. You are our joy and our crown. So that's what Paul was saying. Because the man Paul, among the Corinthians, what did he do? When he went to the Corinthians, what did he do? And I, brethren, 1 Corinthians 2, 1 to 4. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellency of speech, of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. Hallelujah. And I determined not, I was with you with in fear and trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Holy Ghost and of power, so that your faith will not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. He says he determined not to know anything except what? Christ and Him crucified. So he was preaching the word. He didn't get to the Corinthians and was living among them every day. Just go, live his life, do well. And as they were looking at him, this man is a Christian. I'll follow him. No, he taught. Praise God. He taught only lazy believers. Let's write. Are you lazy? Right. The charisma must be proclaimed with words. The charisma must be proclaimed with words. Only lazy believers embrace the idea of evangelism without a deliberate and intentional preaching with words. Don't worry, I will repeat it. The charisma must be preached with words. Only lazy believers embrace the idea of evangelism without a deliberate and intentional preaching with words. Only lazy believers embrace the idea of evangelism without a deliberate and intentional preaching with words. Glory be to God. Only lazy believers embrace the idea of evangelism without a deliberate and intentional preaching with words. Let me say this. I have not found any passionate soul winner say that we can just be preaching with our lives. We don't need to preach with our voice. I've not found one. Those who are always quick to admit and say, preach it, pastor, preach it, are people who are lazy. I want to only conscience tell them. Praise God. So you have given them a convenient theology and they will embrace it. Hallelujah. It's wrong. Because of the nature of the kerygma, it cannot be seen in your life. It has to be taught. Amen. It has to be what? Taught and proclaimed and presented to men through the use of words. Lift your hands, give him praise. Thank you, Jesus, for your word, the entrance of the same. Thank you for light, clarity. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. When you receive the word like this, you should be prompt to prayer. Prompt to respond to prayer. Spiritual things, because you've been so edified, you need to use the education well. It's the best time to pray. Best time to sing spiritual songs is now. When you are well fed with the word of God, there's the strength. Give him praise and give him thanks for what he's done. Yet I know so far like at Yanga Lambalando, so tell the Atalada, Fafa Londo Soto Lega Basha. Yes, Lord. Oh, yes. Yes. Wave your hands to the Lord and thank him. Give him praise. Bible says men lifting up holy hands. Men everywhere praying and lifting up holy hands. Hey, legata londe si amalandi. Shorona bala 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 galeria de la braga bayaska tala tata taria kabaya sata. Hava leteri gebalo se bala galeria gebalandi. Fremando sukele ambala kati legera la nedia de la bala de lote. Lift your hands and give him praise. Woo! Kalabalunda la kabasha katala teria gabala tala gabayata. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.